You are listening to Sexploration with me, Pollyanna. 18 and older, please proceed and enjoy. Under 18, listen no further. Greetings, loves. Glad to be with you again on this Tuesday. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood here. Just watched Will You Be My Neighbor Again last night. Oh, God, I love that. I highly recommend that documentary. Fred Rogers, believe it or not, is one of my idols, which sounds a little weird, I know, but just his caring and his compassion for human beings and his service to that calling. I don't know, I can really relate to that, and I think a lot of us can. So today, we're gonna segue from Fred Rogers into vagina. Only I would do that. So last week we had kind of, a heavier episode, a very important topic to discuss, the Puritan Wave Part 2, talking about slavery, the issue of slavery worldwide, which is still an issue very much present today. And then the concept of sheeple and that we should avoid being sheeple, that we should pursue independent thought and voices within ourselves and support that from one another. And so just to kind of balance that out, I promise to talk about one of my favorite parts of the human body that some of us do have, some of us don't have, some of us actually end up having through a little bit of intervention, the vagina. Yeah. So I have a vagina because I'm a cisgendered woman, which means I was born a woman and I remain a woman. I didn't always have vagina pride like I do today. And I think that that's where I want to start off. Every penis, every vagina comes in all shapes and sizes. You know, there's different looks. There's different kind of locations for like where all the interior parts sit. And none of that's a bad thing. You know, some people spend money and they get designer vaginas is what people call them. You have the vagina surgery. And there's a variety actually of types of vaginal reconstructive surgeries that you can have. And no shame or shade of that. If that's what you want to do for you. I mean, I have my boobs done and it was my divorce present to myself. And I love them. It's actually kind of the way I describe it is how I've always in my mind's eye seen my boobs, and then I'd look in the mirror and say, oh, that's weird, that doesn't match up with what my mental projection is. So I don't think that there's anything wrong whatsoever if you want to ever get any sort of vaginal reconstructive surgery, then, and you feel called to it for the right reasons, then do it, and God bless you. Like, do it and just make sure you can find a good doctor so that you're safe. Who's anyone to judge that? I think judgment on that is something that I wanted to address today because I think it's complete bullshit. It's your body, and as long as you are whole within self and anything you do to it and around it is a reflection on that, who is anyone else to fucking judge? But my vagina like doesn't look like a designer vagina. And I actually have a lot of vagina pride. As I've discovered my sexuality and what turns me on and experienced all the variety and different beautiful types of vaginas, you know, interacting with women, I'm bisexual, so I've been intimate with women. I will continue to do that. I've dated women or just had it on a physical level with friends that I treasure and respect. I do have to say, like, I know that, you know, all the differences that are out there, and I love the nuance. I love the different looks and feels, and that really helped me discover my own as a bisexual woman and as a cisgendered woman. I really discovered, I think, love for my own unique anatomy. So there's this one scene in a classic movie. It's just classic. It's just good filmmaking. I'm pretty sure it's Fried Green Tomatoes, where oh gosh, who's the actor? Kathy Bates, I think, goes to this women's pride like group or whatever, and one of the first things they have them do is take a mirror and look at their vagina. And most of the women are like, absolutely not. I don't look at my vagina. I don't want to see it. Oh God. It like terrifies them. And it's kind of funny to see, but actually there was a time where I felt weird about looking at my own vagina. And it's funny to say that now because I've seen it many times. You know, there was a time where I didn't even, this might be TMI, I didn't even shave down there. Like, I kept it all like 1970s or 80s natural bush down there because I just was so apprehensive about even touching myself. Lots of shame, I guess, kind of associated with that. I think probably a lot of people can relate to that. But we need to kind of get comfortable with our vagina or JJ or vagine. And speaking of that, I love all the different terminology for vagina that there is. It's been called so many different things throughout time. I'm going to leave a link. I have like, I think 11 or 12 links I'm going to leave in the show notes that you should definitely check out each and every one of them. But one of them was this fun page I found out, which listed throughout the world globally in different languages, what the different nicknames, common nicknames are throughout time. So even Shakespeare had a lot of different names for vagina. So I thought that was really interesting. But my favorite part on that page was probably the comment section of people like, oh, that's what I call it. I have to say, for my own personal preference, I really, really dislike, like, I don't find it sexy when the vagina is referred to things like savory meat products, like bacon and there's something about that that's just like cringeworthy to me. Or like the term hatchet, like kind of like violent references to the vagina, just is not sexy to me. It just makes me like want to like cross my legs tightly and like keep people away. Like, it just is so gross. But I tend to gravitate towards cute names like Muffin or Vajayjay or Cookie or sweet references like that. And then I think one of my favorite ones that really made me laugh, I like the ones that make me laugh too. I don't find them sexy, but I just find them funny to giggle at. One of my favorite ones I've heard recently is Love Tunnel. Like, I don't know. It just reminds me. What wasn't there like a carnival ride called like the Tunnel of Love? Like, that's just it's just kind of reminds me. Just so weird to think of. Anyways, so check out that link and then share with me what your names are. If you have a particular name for your vagina in particular, I think that's interesting. I used to have pet names for my ex-boyfriends, penises and balls. I just came up with some really, like, I'd come up with like name combinations like from the same movie, like Die Hard or something like that. Like, it's like a trio of names, I guess, for each individual ball and then the shaft. And I haven't done that for any of the women in my life now that I'm bisexual. So share with me those. I shared with you last week that I'd kind of come up with, I don't know if I should even share this, my own kind of cute, like, funny pet names. I think I came up with these when I was drunk. So that's why they're so dorky. But I like them because they're kind of a pair for both the vagina and the asshole. So they kind of sound a bit alike at the start, but then they kind of differentiate for each part. So for vagina, it's shazay-zay, because it's like shaboom, shabam, like, yeah. Like, and then, or shh, be quiet about it. It's secret. Shh, it's a secret. And then Zay Zay is like, yay, yay. So shazay zay for vagina. And then shaboom boom, for obvious reasons, for the asshole. So that's my, for your auditory enjoyment, those are my nicknames for Lady Vagina and Lady Asshole, is shazay zay and shaboom boom. Let me know how I did. So as I mentioned, I'm bisexual, which means I'm 100% into romantically and intimately into women, and 100% romantically and intimately into men. I date and have sex with both men and women. I knew from my first sexual experiences, when I was convincing the world that I was straight, that I loved penis. I loved giving head. I was really good at it. I was sought out for advice on like what my tips were. I just really enjoyed, like, I even reach orgasm just from giving oral sex to men. And then the same for women actually too now. But I wasn't sure if I would feel the same about oral sex with women. I just didn't know if I was going to enjoy it as much until I was there. I mean, I knew I was drawn to it. I wanted to do it. But I took to it, for me, from my experience, like a natural, and it was kind of, even though it's like a different, obviously a very different type of anatomy, I felt like the same sort of experience for me in terms of being satisfying, in giving in that way. And obviously the techniques are different. But once I started being intimate with women in that way, one thing that really pleasantly surprised me is where I didn't really enjoy receiving oral sex before, I started to really enjoy it. And there's something kind of funny about that to me, so I'll need to think more about that. But I kind of enjoyed getting oral sex in the past. But once I started giving oral sex to women, I really actually was able to start reaching orgasm from oral sex if it was given to me. So that's kind of an interesting thing too. Maybe there's like a little bit of like subconscious psychology there of me repressing my bisexuality probably. So today I wanted to talk about, I guess, some sciencey stuff, but also some health stuff. And we'll keep it fun throughout. We're going to talk about first self-care. So it's important, of course, to maintain and keep our bodies clean overall. But there's some things I want to bring up in particular. So for vaginal health, one of the most important things to bring up, I think, that a lot of people don't do is Kegels. And we all kind of joke about it, like, are you doing your Kegels? And that's basically where I guess, you know how some people like flex their pecs and they like you bounce them back. So it's just kind of focusing on the vaginal muscles, and a man can do this too with their own genital muscles. But so focusing on the vaginal muscles and contracting and relaxing them. And this helps to build up the muscle strength. Now, I just happen to have my anatomy just has it just naturally without putting much work into it, that those muscles in the interior of my vagina are really strong. Like one of the things that I've like I know happens from partners is that when I reach orgasms, they contract and really strongly my vaginal muscles. So like my partners say that they can tell when I'm about to, or it feels good to them because they contract really strongly. So when I first started doing Kegels, it was really easy for me to do. But for some women, you don't even feel the sensation when you start it. So you definitely have something you should work on every day. There's websites where you can kind of, you know, look up kind of the suggestions on how to get started. But you'll start small and kind of building up to a point, if you can't feel it at first, where you can feel it. Now, it's important to do this not just for the sexual experience and sexual pleasure, though from what I understand, I mean, it's always been present for me, so I can't speak from like working up to it. But from what I understand, it's something that really brings, you know, it changes your experience of pleasure for sure. So there's something to be said that. But I think there's a much more important health concern that comes to mind for me that some friends of mine have gone through that is very, very important to be aware of. So there's a lot of women in my life that I know that have had a lot of weakening happening, especially after they have kids, or just, you know, as we age, or maybe it's just always been a weak point. Their vaginal muscles just aren't very strong. Some women I've known they've even atrophied, maybe because of other health issues that they've had, but they haven't really worked on Kegels. And so I've known quite a few women who've actually had their uterus collapse, and then they'll have to have surgery, whether it's a hysterectomy or it's a very invasive surgery. It's painful recovery. So, you know, if you're already at that point where you're looking at surgery, then you might be beyond it. But I would definitely encourage women to, and I'm not saying this is going to happen to you if you don't do Kegels. Like, you know, I'm no doctor. I don't know. But I would suspect that it's really important in helping to prevent that. Because of how many women I've known that have had that issue, how difficult it's been, it's made sex painful, and then just going through the surgical procedure is, I know, a really painful, difficult recovery. So it's important for that too, just for your entire anatomy to be strong and healthy. Just like we need to take care of the muscles in the rest of our body, we need to take care of our vagina muscles. So there's just, sorry, that's the mom and me getting all serious. Like the mama bear is like, you know, but it's really important. I think that's not something that gets brought up enough is that we need to keep those muscles strong also to help support the rest of our anatomy. So that's something to keep in mind. There's ancient methods actually to help with this. One of my favorite scenes in the 50 Shades of Grey movie, I think it's in the second one, I can't remember, where he puts the little like metal balls up her vagina. He's like, oh, you're like this, right? I don't know if they vibrated or something like that, but there's devices like that you can buy on, you know, sex toy sites and such, or at your local sex shop, where you can insert those materials with a little handle on the end so you can pull them out. Don't put anything in there without like something to help pull it out. And by the way, if you didn't know that, you need a way to get it out. And then you do Kegels with those items inside of you that are designed for that. And that really is a great way. Just like you, you know, pick up a dumbbell and like you lift weights that way. It's kind of like your vagina's way of lifting weights. There's also another ancient method called jade egg. I thought this was really cool. So it's this ancient kind of sexual health practice where you tie a string very well securely around a jade egg and you insert it inside your vagina. And then you can do Kegels. And you can even actually tie something to the end, the other end of the string, and contract your vaginal muscles, and then you can lift it off the ground. There's this one, I think she has a podcast, but she went viral with a hashtag, things I lift with my vagina. Look it up. It's so so interesting just to look at it. But she can lift some pretty heavy things because she's gotten to the point where her vaginal muscles are so strong that she puts that jade egg inside of her with the string attached and then ties something else to the end. Now, I don't know if that's hashtag goals. Like, it's just kind of interesting. But I think it's great that she did that because it brings attention to something that I think is very important in women's health and in sexual health. for sure. So look that up and consider it. I haven't tried the jade egg myself, though. It's something that interests me for sure. Like I mentioned, Kegels is something that I've always been able to do kind of naturally. It's just, oh, the muscles there are just naturally very strong and always have been. But I'm getting older. And so I need to actually start taking this seriously myself too, because you never know, you know, they're strong now and they have been, but what if they weaken over time? So that's kind of a little gem for me to give to you on that. So another thing I do, I have really, really sensitive skin on my body in general, but my vagina, it's especially true for. So I want to talk about like sensitive skin because it's an issue for me. I use condoms during sex. I don't mind condoms at all. I know for a lot of people, they say it takes away some of the sensation and pleasure. It really doesn't for me. I still enjoy sex just as much with a condom, and then all the benefits of the condom, which is why I prefer a condom. However, I cannot use every condom. The biggest issue I have is just kind of like regular Trojan condoms. Nothing against Trojan. They do have some, you know, there's something about that condom brand in particular that I just cannot use. Certainly not like the typical standard ones, because every time it gets so irritated, I get a mini yeast infection. Sounds gross, but like it just like I break out in hives. So I don't know if I have, I know I don't have a latex allergy, but there's something about like kind of regular condoms where if I go with latex free, I'm usually better off. And then also too, the thinner the condoms tend to work better with me. Like if it's a thicker condom, there's something about like the abrasion that really, really irritates me down there. So pay attention to that, which condoms you use, do the research, and make sure that you carry an extra one with you maybe, or that your partner, if you're going to be sexually active with them, that they have the right one. And it's worth just taking, trust me, Pat from past experience, it's worth taking a 30-minute break, going down to the drugstore and getting the right condom. Because for me, I know I regret it the next day, sometimes even the next week later, for sure. Now, I shave down there. I like to be fully shaved. I've had my eyebrows waxed in the past, and I know a lot of women that have waxed down there and have had good experience with it. I haven't been able to build up the courage to, because I've had my eyebrows waxed in the past, and that was just my face, and it broke out in hives really bad, and my skin got really irritated and inflamed for days. So I'm very protective of my vagina, so I haven't gotten up the nerve to wax down there yet. And I haven't used the chemical, again, because my skin is so sensitive, I haven't built up the nerve to use the chemical hair removal processes. But a lot of people use waxing and chemical hair removal with a lot of success. So what I would do is I would try it in a patch of skin, like elsewhere with hair, and see how your skin reacts to those methods. And then see if you're comfortable with going forward with that. For a while, I thought that laser hair removal wasn't an option for me. I'm blonde, and so like naturally I have, I know I'm a redhead now, but I have naturally like light strawberry blonde hair. And so down there, it's a little bit lighter. So for a long time, the laser method, if you had lighter hair, it wouldn't pick up the hair because it picks up like a darker hue. And so it wouldn't really work on you. But now they have lasers nowadays that if you go to your esthetician and ask about it, if you have lighter hair, where it could work. So that's actually something that I'll be looking into within the next year or so of going that method. But I shave because it seems like the best option for me. But even with that sensitive skin, I really have a lot of irritation happen. And then sometimes like ingrown hair is like my skin just really overreacts to anything I do to it. But one thing that's really, really helped me immensely with it just being kind of softer and feeling like velvet down there, and that my skin reacts really, really well to right after I shave, is right after I get out of the shower, I put on a thin layer of extra virgin, and it's important that you get cold-pressed extra virgin organic coconut oil. And I love that because I just need a little bit, and it's still wet down there. As soon as I get out of the shower and I apply it, and it dries really well, and it really helps to prevent my skin from overreacting to the trauma of the shaving that I did. So if you have issues with that too, or have issues with like after I've had like a crazy romp, one evening of a crazy romp, like I'm sore down there, and then sometimes just because of like all the rubbing, you know, that happens during the acts, it can get a little bit red and sore, and so I'll take a shower and then I'll put some coconut oil on again, and it really helps my skin heal, stay soft and supple. And there's a lot of other health benefits with coconut oil too. It's like an antibacterial, antifungal, so that's nice as well. So that's kind of something that works really well for me. You want to use it sparingly because with coconut oil, all those benefits I mentioned that are great, they can also, if you use it too much, anything, you know, there's such thing as too much of a good thing. There's some doctors that suggest that it can disrupt your pH level, which is really important to keep balance down there. So like if you don't take a probiotic, a lot of multivitamins have them in already, maybe take a probiotic too also for good vaginal health. So clean hands and nails. Oh God, I've got a story for you. Oh, so gross. So I have to suggest, so when you go down on somebody, just make sure, or if you're gonna be intimate with somebody and you've just eaten, go wash your hands. Go fucking wash your fucking hands. Like this is like, I'm sorry. If I know you've just washed your hands, I'm gonna feel a lot better, especially if we've just gone to eat and like it's hand food. Like if you've gone wash your hands smell fresh, you don't have food residue on it. I just don't want you to touch my vagina. You know what I mean? So I was dating this guy and he was super nice guy. There were already a few things in the relationship that weren't clicking. Like he was really trying to be comfortable with me being poly, but he just was struggling with it. And so it was at the beginning of us dating and we had just gone out and had a fun night. And then he had the munchies after, you know, we've been drinking. And so he had pulled out from his fridge some buffalo chicken dip and some like Doritos or like some Cooler Ranch Doritos and had been eating them. And so we're, you know, on the couch and then he starts leaning in to kiss me and I'm not like, oh God, his breath. I was just kind of like lightly kissing him like, okay. Go back to talking. And then he goes down immediately, like swoops in and starts trying to eat me out with his nasty Doritos, buffalo cheese, chicken dip. And I almost threw up. Like I just pushed him away because he got closer and I was like, oh God, no, that's my vagina. Don't know. So I pushed him away and like, actually that was just the straw that broke the camel's back. I was like, I don't think we should date anymore. And I know that sounds really harsh, but there was other things too, but okay. So the moral of that story is like, if make sure you rinse out your mouth with, I mean, maybe not everyone's as weird about that as I am, but to me, it's like, it's really nice to know that you've just Listerined your mouth and deodorized it and that you've washed your hands thoroughly so that I don't get, so my vagina doesn't end up smelling like buffalo chicken cheese dip, you know? That's just not gonna do it for me. So that's something I suggest too, is if you know you're about to have an intimate moment, maybe swish with the Listerine and wash your hands. Certainly one thing that I love to do, and I know a good friend of mine suggested this and says that she insists on it. And I haven't been as an insistent on it in the past, but as soon as she said it, I was like, you know what? Like, I think that's something I prefer too. So I think I'm going to be more insistent about it as well, is suggesting a shower right before and a shower right afterwards. And that can be a really sexy, intimate thing. So, you know, especially if you're, you know, a couple ladies in the shower, like there's just something sexy about a shower, right? So that's a great way to kind of rinse off the day and start things off clean. And then for women too, it's important to, and this is from my gynecologist, to pee before and to pee afterwards. So usually I excuse myself and I go to the bathroom and I pee a little bit. Sounds so weird saying it like right now. But that's a great way to kind of help prevent bacterial vaginosis. And it just kind of keeps your urethra clean because you're about to have some contact happen, right? So that's another suggestion from the doctor that I'll share with you too. All right, so testing frequency, because you've got to keep the disease away from the vagina. So there's a lot of different opinions I've heard on this. So I have a link that I'll share with you from the CDC, and it suggests, I think, for, you know, every 1 year to every 1 year you should get tested for specific diseases that they suggest. And then for bisexual men, though I think that this would apply to anyone who's especially sexually active, not just gay and bisexual men, they suggest every 3 to 6 months of testing. Now I kind of do like every 3 to 4 months because I have multiple sexual partners. That's just kind of the norm that I feel good about. It's more often than doctors at clinics and the CDC should suggest, but to me it's better to be safer than sorry. And then I have a friend actually who tests most more frequently than anyone I know, and she tests every 2 months. I think that's great. I think that you should just kind of do the frequency that you're comfortable with, but certainly no less than once a year. That includes HIV testing, even if you're monogamous. Even if you're monogamous, you should be tested for STDs every year, at least once a year. It's about good health. I don't mean to be pessimistic, but you do never know. And then it's just a safe, responsible thing to do. Like, yeah, you want to trust your partner, but it's important, some of the things that you catch them early, and that you know, so that you're not spreading them, you know. So it's something I definitely suggest, if you're monogamous, at least once a year. If you're dating more actively, at least once every 6 months. But if you have a high frequency of sexual partners, you know, 3 to 4 months, as often as I do it, is probably a better bet. Though I'm no doctor, but certainly it's better to get tested more frequently than not. It keeps you safe. It keeps other people safe. I mean, really, for sex subcultures, I'd say the lifestyle, most sex subculture communities are probably like the best at getting tested frequently, for sure. And it's when we kind of do things under wraps and we don't take responsibility for our choices that we can kind of start to adopt some dangerous things, like passing along STDs. So we got to be careful with that. So now on to the more fun stuff, like enough of the doctory stuff, right? Now we're going to talk about oak pug. That's right. I said oak pug. Now I looked this up to see if anyone else had come up with this anagram. And no one else has. I mean, somebody else might have, because it seems to me there should be an anagram to remember all the spots, all the erogenous zones for women. I'm sure a lot of you guys have, like me, for a long time, all I knew about was the G spot and then the O spot. And then I heard about the A spot. I didn't even know that there were other spots. There's also a K spot, a P spot, and a U spot. So I'm leaving a couple of links, two links, about these spots to describe them where they are. But just to give you a general idea, the G-spot is where most of us have heard about. So the G-spot is, of course, when you just kind of put your finger and a little bit into that beautiful vagina, that cookie, that shazaze, and then you just kind of curl your finger up and you do this, like, come here, just come on over here, come on, right? So that's the G-spot. Now, that's the general area, and what I'm going to list is the general areas for these spots. Every vagina is different. It might be in a little bit of a different spot. It might be a little bigger, a little wider of a spot. It might not be that sensitive of a spot. Everyone is different. Some spots might not be an erogenous zone for someone, or maybe they will in time. I know for me, there's one, the K spot was not ever an erogenous zone. And then I discovered that it was before I even knew what the K spot was. What did you call it? So the K spot, for your awareness, is the spot right above the anus. And that's like right between where the butt cheeks open and separate. It's like a little bone right above it. So that's an erogenous zone for me. It's a very kind of fleshy, sensitive area. And I'm not into anal sex, but that's definitely an erogenous zone for me, for sure. So you can look up all these spots when I post them. And another one that I thought was really interesting that I had never heard about until recently was the U spot. So that's between the urethra and the clit. It's a really sensitive area. But if you remember oak pug, OAKPUG, then you'll remember all the letters that go along with it. So you can research it on your own. But again, I'll leave those links for you. And, you know, try them out, explore them. You might read them like, oh my gosh, yeah, that is totally a spot for me, but I never knew that's what it's called, right? And there's probably spots beyond oak pug that I have yet to discover. We're all learning. We're all growing over time. And I know I'm learning something new every day. Human sexuality is this beautifully diverse, dynamic thing that we're discovering more and more about every day. There's a lot of ancient, actually, thoughts and philosophy and practices for human sexuality that were lost over time because there was kind of this Puritan wave of humanity that came through. So I'm trying to get a guest on my show who's really well-versed on the ancient arts of sexuality. He's local here and has a lot of really great knowledge that we can gain from. So I'm trying to see if I can figure out a day to interview him on that because I think that would be really great to share. But oak pug, if you look at the links and then you can look on your own, you can find out a little bit more about that. So next, squirting. So squirting is something I can do. I'm a squirter. Nothing good or bad about that. But I think that it's important to know a little bit about that. So the fluid that comes out is not pee. It does come out of your urethra, but it's actually kind of a fluid that's similar to prostate fluid. For a long time, I thought it was pee. Like, I was like, which was like made it a little bit of an embarrassing thing. Oh my gosh, like, because I squirt a lot. I make a big wet mess. And it, when I'm with a partner, that it gets there. And I don't squirt every time. Like, it just, it depends. I think it probably depends on the day and the experience. Like, some partners it happens all the time with, and it's not a good or bad thing. Like, it just, like, is, it's not a good experience if I do and a bad experience if I don't. Like, this has, it's totally arbitrary. But I thought for a long time that it was, and it's not actually. So if you're talking about golden showers and you're talking about squirting, you really are talking about two separate things. Just like a man's prostate, you know, creates prostate fluid. That's exactly what it is in a woman. I just, some women don't produce a lot of it. Some produce not that much. I happen to produce a lot of it. So like when the time is right. But it is still can make a wet mess, right? And I'm, you know, I care about cleanliness, if you picked up on it before. So what I actually ended up doing is I purchased this blanket. It's a waterproof blanket. And I tried searching at first for like squirting blankets, and I couldn't find anything. I'm like, oh my God, I need to find one of these blankets. How do I find them? And I could find, like, no search was helping to find it. And so what I did is I went on Amazon and I just searched, okay, waterproof blanket. Ton of results, right? You just have to know like the lingo, like the bypass lingo to get what you want. Like massager, right? is what people used to call vibrators back in the day when no one would admit it. So that's what I use. I'll see if I can find a link to add to the show notes as well. But the one I have is like soft and plush, like a fuzzy blanket on one side, and then the other side is like, you know, is completely waterproof. So you kind of put the soft side up, right? So it feels more blankety. But then it kind of moves when you lay it on the bed. And mine, the one I was able to find, I need to see if I can find a bigger one, just covers my queen size bed. And so I think that what I would suggest is, if that's a size that you find, and it's totally fine with finding that size, is to take the corners of your blanket, of your erotic waterproof blanket, and maybe take safety pins and keep it in place that way, and then put your fitted sheet on top of it. That way you save your mattress and you're not having to buy a new mattress all the time if you have a squirter in your life, or if you yourself are a squirter. So that's the suggestion I've made. And then if you go on vacation, too, what a lot of people do is they'll get a bedroom with two rooms, and one is the squirting bed and one is the we sleep in this bed, right? And you're sure not to get those confused. So, oh gosh, we're running over. So I want to get into, on another show, oral sex. Cause I think there's kind of some concepts of how to eat really great pussy. So we'll get, but I think that can really be paired with giving head to kind of do it in combination show, talking about oral sex techniques in general. Once you know, you've read those links about the O spot, about Oak, about Oak Pug, right? Learn about all those erogenous zones first, and then you'll be ready for that episode. Oh, we already talked about designer vaginas. I got way ahead of that one. Okay, great. We got everything covered today. So let me know what you think. If you have any methods for keeping your vagina, or the vagina in your life, healthy, safe, and happy, I want to hear about them. Especially because, as I mentioned just a moment ago, in the future, I will have an episode focusing on men and women and oral sex for both genders, giving and receiving. So anything that you have in terms of tips and stuff, and maybe if once I post the link to this show too, you can leave in comments for other people to enjoy and learn and gain from as well. As always, be sure to rate, review, like, and subscribe, whatever platform you are listening to. I appreciate it. And other people that are looking for something to listen to will appreciate your guidance as well. So make sure that you subscribe, review, rate, and like. My website, just as a reminder, I will leave in the show notes, but that is sexplorationwithpoe.wixsite.com. That's WIXSITE.com. And don't forget at the end, /website. As always, be good to yourself and be good to others. Laters.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.